Good morning, Key Point Church. It is still morning by 3 minutes, so hey, I want to congratulate you. You made it. This is the last service of 2017. You guys made it, and it's stinking cold outside. What's up with the cold? Again, listen, I'm from Texas. I'm not used to this, y'all. It is freezing outside, but I am glad to have all four seasons, so we'll be thankful for that. Hey, our senior pastors, Pastor Casey and Stacy, are in Louisiana today, and they are spending much-needed time with some family back in Louisiana. All of their family is back there, and they are enjoying their weekend there. So I will be here, and I'll be speaking this morning. And so I just want to talk a little bit about 2017, and we'll talk a lot about 2018. But before we do that, how many of you remember Y2K? Anybody remember Y2K? How many of you were an adult during Y2K? Fewer hands, but that's all right. It's a young crowd. I like it. I like it. Look around at somebody and say, hey, yeah, this is a young crowd. Listen, this is a great crowd for the 11:30 service, December 31st, 2017. Man, 20K was, Y2K was stressful. Wasn't it stressful? Like, we were ending that. If you were an adult, you remember that. How many of you stockpiled anything for Y2K? Anybody? Yeah, some of you are like, oh, that was... How many of you read a book about the coming Y2K disaster? Anybody read a book? Yes! Fellow nerds, I like it. I read a book. It was awesome. We held our breath as the clock struck midnight and wondered if all the computers were still going to work. And glory be, they all worked. It was all for nothing. So then we ate all the canned goods that we had stored up, sold off the gold bars. That wasn't me. Anyway, Y2K. Okay, well, let's get started this morning. If you got your Bibles, if you got your phone app, whatever you use, turn with me to two passages of Scripture. Go to Luke chapter 4, put a marker there, put your hand there, and then go to Matthew chapter 3. Okay, we're going to go to two passages of Scripture. Luke 4, hold a marker, and go to Matthew chapter 3. While you're turning there, let's talk a little bit about 2017. You've heard Pastors Casey and Stacy talk about 2017. They clearly heard the Lord talk about transition. The word for the year was transition, and there was a lot of transition that happened. There was some staff that transitioned off of staff here, and they moved on. We've had some that have gone on to other jobs and other churches and things like that. There have been staff that's transitioned in. Hello. Transitioned in, came in here in July. Actually, it was a tough year for a lot of people that I knew. Over the last few weeks, just talking through some friends that I've had for a long time, and they have by far said that 2017 was the toughest year that they've had. And when you hear that, that's a jarring statement, but people, friends that have gone through cancer, friends that have lost a spouse, friends that have lost a job. I know for us, we lost our home church. I say we lost, we left our home church, and we came here because I was looking for a new home church. But it was the only church that my kids ever knew, and it was very difficult for my kids. How many of you, 2017 was a difficult year? Anybody? Difficult year. How many of you, and I love that we're interactive today, so that's good. How many of you would say 2017 was probably the toughest year? Anybody? Okay, that's all right. Well, here's the deal about transition, and this is one of the things I want to say. Key Point Church has gone through some transition. I'm not talking about just as a staff or an entity, but the people, you know, of Key Point Church. 2017 was a year of transition. But let me encourage you, transition's not always bad. In fact, God redeems anything and everything. And transition that was difficult for us, God has totally redeemed it. And we absolutely love being here. And we can see now a 30,000-foot view of everything that's been happening and how God has been with us and blessed us all along the way. Plus, listen, as a church, transition is something you want to consistently happen. If a church doesn't have change, if a church never has transition, it becomes stagnant. How many of you want to be a part of a stagnant church? How many of you have ever been a part of a stagnant? Yes, I'm going to raise my hand too. It's not any fun. But if God is moving, if God is causing people and things and programs to grow and to progress, transition has to happen. It's kind of like that book, Who Moved My Cheese? People don't like change. You know, we don't like change when we're going through it, but a lot of times on the other side, we can see where change was to our benefit. And so, listen, transition, we're going to mark down 2017, transition in 2017. We're going to say, yes, we can see the Lord had his hand in it. But as I go through and as I prepare for this next year, just as God gave the word transition for 2017, God's been speaking something to my heart that I've been, this is a message today that I even spoke to our staff during staff chapel, our last staff chapel. The word that I can't get away from for 2018 is intentionality. Everything that I do this year, I want to be intentional about it. I don't want the year to happen to me. I want to take 2018 by the tail, and I want to go after it. How many of you are with me about 2018? You want to be intentional with your year. And see, here's what I love. You're at church on December 31st, 2017. You're ready to just punch this new year in the face, aren't you? How many of you are ready to just punch it in the face? You've been punched in the face 2017. Let's take after 2018, all right? So, intentionality. This is my dad used to say, we're going to start cooking with gas, all right? So, when I use the word intentionality, I want to apply it in several areas. We want to intentionally reach people. Our mission here at Key Point Church is that we reach people to experience life in Jesus. Remember that. We want to be intentional with the experience that we have. Your spiritual experience here at Key Point Church, that includes the weekend services. There is a lot that goes on during the week for these weekend services. We are constantly looking at this specific service, all three of them, that happens on the weekend and say, how can we create an experience that is so beneficial for people that as they leave, they're built up, they're charged, they're ready to just tackle their whole next week. And we help people grow and we help people find Jesus. We want to be intentional with our experience, the weekend experience. The weekend experience as far as it is with the kids ministry. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to talk a little bit about this later on in the message. But I told my staff, I said, there is something in your vocabulary that I want you to lose. I want you to lose the words childcare, because we don't do childcare on the other side of this wall. We do kids ministry. We do ministry to kids. We do ministry to children, and we are intentional about that. We are intentional about the experience that they have, and that happens from the nursery with infants, with little bitty babies. We have people in there that are speaking into your kids. They're speaking into your children. Even if they're infants, we're speaking life over them and not death. We're believing as we pray for them, as we pray over them, that God has got something incredible for their lives. It goes all the way up through elementary as we lead them in worship, because we believe that there is no junior Holy Spirit. He's the same Holy Spirit that works in this room. And so we're not just trying to take care of kids so that you can have a good church experience without them. We're doing children's ministry. That goes all the way up through sixth grade when we have mixed JV. We're intentional with that service because we are speaking into their lives and believing that God has got something incredible for them. Listen, when I was in elementary school, I gave my heart to Jesus. That's when I first understood what it was to give my life to Jesus. When I was a teenager, I felt called into the ministry. All because people were intentional with the ministry that they gave me, that they spoke into me. And so we're no longer going to say childcare, because that just denotes we're putting up with kids. We are intentional with the ministry that we do when we speak into kids here at Key Point Church. Another point of intentionality with the experience is small groups. And I want to encourage you to get into a small group if you're not. I want to encourage you to find a group of people that you can share life with, because no man is an island. We can't do this alone. We choose to do it in community. And so we want to do it in small groups. Maybe today, at the end of this message, maybe throughout this week, you're going to hear the Lord speaking to you and say, hey, I want you to lead a small group. I want you to respond to that. Maybe you're the type of person, you say, you know what, I could never teach, even if it's in front of a small group of people, but I can open up my home and I can host a small group. I can allow someone else to come and lead a small group inside my home, and I would love to host it and, you know, put out the crackers and the cheese and whatever it is that you want to do. But we want to be intentional with small groups, because we know that all the ministry at Key Point Church doesn't happen inside this one-hour service. It happens outside these doors. It happens in people's homes. It happens in coffee shops as people share life together, as they share community together. All right, so we want to be intentional. We want to be intentional with our spiritual life. We want to equip you for ministry. We want to equip you in your small group. Maybe this is the year you say, you know what, I'm going to have a quiet time this year. I'm going to take at least 15 minutes. Maybe I'll start my day, maybe I end my day, but I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to read what God says about me, and I'm going to be quiet and listen, let Him speak to me, and I'm going to grow in my own spiritual life. We want to have equip-type classes, where we have classes that help you grow in your understanding and your knowledge of who God is. And we want to be intentional about making the main thing, and that is lifting Jesus up and living in him, okay? So now listen, to start off 2018, next week, January 7th, we're gonna begin a church-wide fast, a 21-day fast, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to get in the Word, and I want to, as we're talking about fasting, let's look at the experiences, or one of the experiences that Jesus had with fasting. And what we find in Matthew chapter 4 is that Jesus entered into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting. But if you look, I want to begin in Matthew chapter 3 at the end of the chapter of Matthew and starting with verse 16. So if you've got Matthew chapter 3, let's start off with verse 16. It says, "After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy.'" That's God speaking directly into Jesus and affirming his identity. Now, if you go to right next, if you go to Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted," and listen to this, "became very hungry." When Jesus fasted, he became very hungry. We'll talk about that in a little bit. "During that time, the devil came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Verse 5, "Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, 'If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you don't even hurt your foot on a stone.' And Jesus responded, 'The scripture also say, you must not test the Lord your God.' Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. 'I will give it all to you,' he said, 'if you will kneel down and worship me.'" Verse 10, "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." See, at the end of Matthew 3, we see where Jesus gets baptized. Jesus had not yet entered his time of ministry. He goes and he has John baptize him. And when he came up out of the water, God spoke to him and affirmed who he is. "This is my Son, and I love him a whole bunch." He spoke directly. And then right afterwards, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days. Now listen, we're going to do this fast at the beginning of the year because we want to be intentional with our year. I believe that Jesus wanted to be intentional with the beginning of his ministry. So before he began his public ministry, he got baptized, and he went and he fasted for 40 days. There's some intentionality there. But what we see whenever Jesus went in and fasted, what is the first thing that the devil did whenever he came to him? He questioned, he tried to get him to doubt who he was by these seven words, "If you are the Son of God." God had just spoken, "This is my Son." Jesus knew who he was. He came to earth specifically for us. And yet here is the devil who has the guts to challenge who Jesus is. Let me say this. If the devil's brave enough to try to get Jesus to question who he is, don't you think he'll try to do the same thing to you? Don't you think he'll whisper in your ear, "Man, 2017 was tough. You should probably just hang this up. Man, I don't know if you can keep this up. You did a pretty cruddy job this last year. Man, I don't know if God is with you because see all the things that happened to you. Man, I don't know that you can really bet on the fact that God is good." He's going to whisper in your ear, but here's what I want you to do. In this season and from now on, when he does that, I want you to go, "Nope, this is who he says I am. And I am everything that God says I am. This is who God speaks into me." Whenever you get alone in your quiet time in the mornings, whenever you get alone and you read God's word and you pray and you ask God for a word specifically for that day, hold on to it. Because during that day, during tough times, during times when you're very hungry, the devil's going to come. He's going to whisper in your ear, but you get to use the word against him, and you don't let him question your identity. You know who you are in Christ because you have got into this word, and you've got the fire in your eyes as you attack your day. Would you do that this year? Would you make it a commitment this year? I'm going to know who I am in Christ Jesus. See, with those first words, the enemy really tried to come against Jesus. And Jesus knew who he was because God spoke it over him. And in the beginning, see in John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus not only had this in him, this whole thing is about Jesus. And so Jesus knew who he was and could use that against the enemy. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 4, this is the same story. So we see the baptism of Jesus in Luke 4, but I love the way Luke just kind of ties up the end of that story, how he kind of adds on to it. So if you go to Luke chapter 4 and you start with verse 14, it says, then Jesus, after the baptism, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. How many of you would love Holy Spirit power even more in your life in 2018 than you had in 2017? How many of you would love to just start the year off right and say, hey, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit's power? This is how Jesus began his public ministry. And then if you go to verse 18, Luke chapter 4, Jesus had gone into the temple. He opened the scroll. He read out of Isaiah, and he said this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Now, can that mean people who aren't wealthy, who don't have very much? Yes, it can mean that. But if you go to Matthew 5, 3, Jesus had said this. He said, God blesses the poor in spirit and that realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. People need the good news. And whenever Jesus said, he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, I believe he's talking about not just the people that don't have very much, but the poor in spirit. You see, I remember a time when I had a friend that I worked with at a restaurant. I remember the day that she walked in, she made a beeline for me, and she says, hey, I need some faith. You look like you have faith. Tell me what you have. It's not supposed to be that easy. I'm supposed to be persecuted. I didn't explain that to her. But she had grown up Muslim, and she wanted something. She realized she was poor in spirit. She realized that she was lacking. There are people all around you throughout your day that you interact with, and God can begin to reveal something to them. They realize the emptiness that they have inside. They realize what they're lacking. They realize that they may be poor in spirit, and they need the good news. They need the gospel. You carry good news with you everywhere that you go when you walk out these doors. Did you know that? And here's what Jesus says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He's anointed you to bring the good news to those that are poor in spirit. Jesus continues, he has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. Maybe you've felt like you've been held back for a long time. Maybe you felt like there's an area of bondage, or maybe an area in your life where you haven't been able to break free. See, whenever it says he sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, this denotes leaving something or being released from something. I don't even know that you have something in your life that you may call an addiction, but there is something that is a bad habit maybe. There are people around you that you spend time with that you need to get away from. Maybe there is a circumstance maybe that you need to get rid of or get away from. But this denotes leaving or being released from something. He continues. He says that the blind will see. This is healing. We believe in healing here at Key Point Church. Maybe you are in need of healing in your life, or somebody close to you is in need of healing, both spiritually and even physically. There are some translations that will say heal the brokenhearted in addition to this. Listen, I lost friends in 2017 to cancer, but I also have friends in 2017 that were healed miraculously from cancer. Maybe there is something that you're holding on to. I encourage you, don't give up praying for that healing. Don't give up praying for that spiritual scar maybe that you have on the inside, or that wound that has yet to heal. Maybe you feel brokenhearted. Maybe something has happened that cut you deep. God can heal that. God wants to heal that if we let him in this coming year. He continues that the oppressed will be set free. This is different than the earlier sentence that he says where he said, proclaim that the captives will be released. See, captives be released when it denotes leaving something. The oppressed will be set free. This is becoming something or someone, or becoming a free person. See, we may not have freedom in our lives, but freedom is not about leaving something. It's becoming someone. And that's when you know who you are in Christ Jesus, who you know who you are that God's called you to be, that you can become who you're supposed to be. That's why we place such emphasis on spiritual growth here at Key Point Church. We want to be intentional with all that we do because we want to see you become who God has called you to be. And Jesus wraps up this passage of Scripture in Isaiah with, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. How many of you are ready for favor?
Can you hear Jesus speak that over you, over your life, over your home, over your family, over your career today, this year, that the time of the Lord's favor has come? I'm just going to declare it right now that the year of favor for Key Point Church, for the people of Key Point Church, and for our community has come. Can you receive that this morning? We're going to declare it over our lives. We're going to be intentional with the words that we do and do not use, especially as we declare the Lord's favor over our lives and we receive it. As I am intentional with my words, I've encouraged the staff to do the same. And today, let me challenge you that the words that you say matter. Be intentional with your words this year. Be intentional with the things that you say and who you say them to. Let's declare in faith that 2018 is the year of the Lord's favor in our life. Now, listen here. We have a desire to see Key Point Church grow. When you hear me say that, I'm not just talking about getting more people in this room. I'm talking about seeing people grow. I'm talking about growing people here at Key Point Church and seeing you spiritually grow. And that means seeing things happen in your life that previously haven't happened. Just like in a greenhouse or a nursery, we want to grow people. God has entrusted us, and we want to see how big people can get spiritually, and that means you. Listen, when God called me into ministry at the age of 16, he spoke to me through a passage I was reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and it says, "Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. This responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ." Do you want to know what my real job is? I'm in the equipping business. You are in the ministry. You have opportunities by the people that you're surrounded with day in and day out to see people come to know Christ. You have opportunities that I don't have. And at Key Point Church, we want to equip you for all that God has got for you. And yes, that means you growing in him, growing in your knowledge of him, so that when you walk out these doors, you've got a passion, you've got a mission on your heart, and that you see people come to know Jesus. Remember, our mission is to reach people to experience life in Jesus. And we just don't expect that people are just going to walk through the door magically. We know that that happens as you interact with people all throughout the week, that you reach people to experience life in Jesus. Now, if we truly want to experience life in Jesus, we have to be intentional with the next generation. So some of the initiatives that we have for this year, one of those, and you're going to hear about it in the coming months, is we're going to do some expansion on this facility because we want to better minister to families, families that have children. And right now, we're extremely limited in the children's ministry that we could do. We want to blow those walls out, and we want to do incredible ministry for kids. But you know what that's going to take? That's going to take sacrifice from all of us. And I'm not talking about money. Yes, we'll need people to give, but I'm talking about you giving of yourself. And during the weekend services and throughout the week where you say, you know what, I'm going to serve. I'm going to choose to speak into a child's life. And maybe you don't have experience, but maybe you have a willing heart where you say, I will choose to speak into this next generation. I'm unhappy with where we are, and I want to see change happen. I want to see change for the good happen through this next generation. You have an opportunity to speak into these kids. We want to lay the foundation of all the volunteers and all the people that we're going to need so that day one when we move into our expansion, we have everybody that we need. And if you hear God calling you to do that, I want you to respond. The same way that we want to expand that way, we're going to need people in small groups. I encourage you already about small groups, but really, whenever we go through this fasting, I want you to pray specifically, God, how do you want me to share community? How do you want me to share life with others? Maybe that is as simple as getting plugged into a life group, but it could be leading one. It could be hosting. Whatever that looks like, I want you to be intentional this year about ministry, okay? Now, we believe in the next generation because we believe there is no junior Holy Spirit. We want to set up the future of Key Point. I've seen it happen. I'm a product of that, and I have been fortunate enough to been in ministry long enough that kids that I had in junior high are now pastors and preachers and teachers and missionaries. I've seen it happen. I've seen kids grow up, and because of my youth leaders, because of my volunteers and the way that they spent life just speaking into them, now these kids have grown up, and they're young adults. And they're changing the world one person at a time. That's what we want to see here. We want to be intentional with that. Now, earlier I read we read that Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days and that he fasted, and that Jesus was very hungry. It says that right in the Bible. So let's talk about fasting here just for a moment. Next week, we're going to start a time of fasting for 21 days. And a lot of times, as people go into fasting, they do what's called a Daniel fast. And Daniel is, you can read about Daniel in the Old Testament, how he did fasting. But for me, a Daniel fast was something that had the biggest impact on my life. And if you want to do a Daniel fast, it's like no meats, no sweets, and you can do that. But I want to encourage you to seek the Lord all this week and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? I want to be in unity with my church. I want to be in unity with my pastor, and I want to join, and I want to do fasting. Can I encourage you not to do something easy? Don't let this be something that's easy for you to do. Let this be a challenge where you're reminded that whole 21 days, God, I'm doing this because I want to see drastic change in my life. Now, I know a lot of people, and I've done this myself, I'm going to admit, that they say, you know what, I'm going to fast social media for those 21 days. If that's a challenge for you, maybe you need to do it longer than 21 days. Maybe you're glued to your phone. What's new on Facebook? I can't tell you how many hours of sleep I've lost because I just opened up Facebook before I went to bed, and before you know it, like an hour's passed. Oh my gosh, what has Facebook done to my life? Maybe somebody goes, you know what, I'll fast TV or I'll fast soda. And those aren't bad things. And if that's a big deal to you, then it's a big deal to you. If that's what God tells you to do, then that's fine. But I'm going to encourage you, can we lose the aspect that fasting will be easy? You see, Jesus himself went into the wilderness, there were no grocery stores, and he fasted for 40 days. We're only asking 21, but it says that he became very hungry. Let me encourage you to let this be a season to where you, when you look back years from now, you can say, you know what, that marked me. As I close, let me just share with you, years ago, my wife and I, the first time we ever did a Daniel fast, and it was, our whole church was doing it at the time, and the pastor encouraged, hey, this is what I feel like we should do. And so we did. It was no meats and no sweets. Listen, I'm from the South. Sweet tea, chocolate cake, pie, cookies, steak, whatever it is. I grew up on meat and potatoes. So when he said no meats, no sweets, I'm thinking, I don't have anything to eat. That's all I eat. But we did it. It was at the beginning of a year, I remember it, is at the beginning of the year. And I was entering into a difficult season. I had been in ministry since 1994. And I was entering into a season where I wasn't working at a church. I wasn't in full-time ministry. And I was trying to figure out, God, who am I? What is it that you want me to do? So we decided to go into this Daniel fast. And it was tough. I'm not going to lie to you. It was tough. In fact, it was so tough. On the 22nd day, I took that day off work, and I went to Cracker Barrel for breakfast. Waitress came up and says, what do you want? I said, bring me the meats. Just bring them all. Just right here. But I tell you what, that year proved to be an incredible year for us. We had been trying for 2.5 years to have a baby. My wife got pregnant that year. I saw people at my workplace come to know Jesus left and right. I had been wrestling God about, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? And I gave up the idea of full-time ministry ever again. And I said, Lord, I don't care if I go back into full-time ministry. I just want to serve you. I want to be part of a healthy church. I want to take care of my family. And a year to the date that we ended our fast, the church that we were attending that I loved so much came to me and says, hey, we want to hire you on staff. I'm not saying that's the ultimate goal, but I had wrestled with God that whole year. And I had come to terms, okay, Lord, it's okay. And I entered into a season of 10 years of incredible, impactful, meaningful, deep ministry. Let this be a fast that you're intentional with. Let this be a season where you say, God, I'm in this for the long haul. Let this be a fast that you go, this is not easy. But as you go through and you remember, okay, I'm staying away from these things, you remember, God, I'm doing this because I need more of you. Be intentional with your words. Not, God, I want more of you. God, I need more of you. I need to see you move in 2018. I need you to do this in my family. God, I need to hear from you. I need to have more quiet times with you and hear you speak into my life. Listen, be intentional with your fasting. Be intentional with your words and what you declare over 2018. Intentionally reach people around you. Be intentional with your spiritual life and growth. And be intentional about lifting up Jesus and living in him. Can we pray this morning? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Not because it's a magic formula, but because I just want you to get alone with God for just a moment. And we close our eyes to avoid all the distractions around us. I want you to have a moment with the Lord right now. As I'm talking about growing and as I'm talking about fasting and all of these things, and as we talk about this is the last day of the year, maybe this morning you're saying, you know what, I want to start the new year off right. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never gotten serious with God, but you say, you know what, today's the day. December 31st, 2017, I want to give my life to Jesus. Real quick, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but while the heads are bowed, if that's you, would you just raise your hand up real quick and you can put it right back down. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Today's the day. Awesome. Thank you. All over the room. Thank you. Anybody else? This is the day. Today is a new spiritual birthday for you. Anybody else? Awesome. Here's what I want to do. While you still got your eyes closed and head bowed, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer, and I would ask that the whole room, that everybody in this place would repeat after me, and we're just going to ask Jesus to come in our heart. So I want you to pray with me. Say out loud, dear Jesus, today I give my life to you. I ask you to come into my life and lead me in all that I do. I realize, Jesus, that you died for my sins so that I can have life. And today I receive you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you stand with me this morning? Here's what we're going to do. We're not done yet, so I'm going to ask you not to leave. We're going to end this with one more worship song. And I want you to make it count, because as we go into this, we're going to declare, God, you are good. And my 2018 is going to be good because I know that you're good. Would you do that with me this morning? Let's lift this up in worship. Thank you so much for coming today. We are honored that you spent the last day of the year with us. And today, here's what I want to encourage you to do. We're going to have altar ministry come up here in just a moment. In fact, they can go ahead and come up if they want to. Today, if you raised your hand and you said, hey, I'm going to give my life to Jesus today, we would love a chance to pray with you, walk with you in this new season.
If you don't feel comfortable with praying with somebody that you don't know, at least please take that conversation card. You can drop it in the box or leave it at the information booth. We'd love to contact you and be intentional with how we walk through this season with you. We want to be your church. We want to come alongside and equip you in every way that we can. Maybe there's something that you need prayer for that is apart from that. Maybe you're walking through a difficult season. Maybe you have apprehension about going into the next season. We'd love a chance to pray with you before you leave. So please don't leave without having somebody pray with you, all right? And if we haven't had a chance to meet you, we'd love to meet you out in the lobby. We'd love to just get to know you a little bit better, all right? Well, thank you so much for coming. Always remember, our mission here at Key Point Church is to reach people to experience life in Jesus. Have a great new year tomorrow.